The Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast is presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Coming up, the Bear and I get you set for week 14 in what seems like an endless college football season, but we are here for you. Our thoughts on the game of the week, Akron and Bowling Green. Nothing is bigger. Cannot wait for that game. Even though Bears headed to Coastal for game day, what do we do with Ohio State in the rankings? And now they actually have a game with Michigan State. It looks like that's going to be played. And, of course, we have another red-hot steamer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's V Week, and during these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer has not stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes to cancer research. Again, we're here. It is December. We have an NFL game that's about to be played. That was supposed to be played in November, and it's going to be played in December, but we're here, Bear, fresh off Daily Wager deal. Congrats!
Thank you, little.
Who's our golf pick, by the way? Let's give it right out.
We went Brooks Koepka.
Okay.
The fact that he's playing well and played well at Augusta, played well at Houston. So I think the fact that he's quick little turnaround here means he's healthy and feels good and had a down season by his standards. I think he's a good price, and I took a little shot if you're looking for a price play. I went with Harold Warner III, someone who has played pretty well later in the year, and he has a couple of top six finishes at Mayakoba. I said maybe if you want to throw a little pocket change on him to be a first-round leader, it could be a good price as well. So I went to Brooks and Varner as my long shot. And right, I think Anita had Abraham Answer.
Got it. All right. There we go. Fresh picks. Rankings last night. Couple things I want to discuss before we get into the two biggest games, maybe of the year, definitely of the week. One's taking place in Ohio, and one's you're going to be at for game day. But we'll get to those in a second. Two things. Are you freaking kidding me? Georgia moves up. Are you kidding me? Oklahoma State moves up that much. The biggest question to me is, this is because I'm not saying they're not, okay? But this is regarding Ohio State. Obviously, they didn't move. They didn't get touched. There was conversation with Bar to tell Reese that there was conversation about possibly moving them down. Are we really going to put a team in the playoff that's 5-0?
I don't think 5-0 would do it. I do
6-0?
Well, here's the thing. What we know about the playoff in the first however 6 years of the playoff, whatever it is, the two things they have proven are that they don't take the four best teams. They take the four most deserving.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't stand teams with two losses. But I think in a funny sense, I think the Ohio State, if assuming they play this week or next week against Michigan, and they're 5-0, don't qualify for the Big Ten championship game. It almost works out, I think, in a sense, better for them to play Wisconsin. I think that would give them, like, in the eyes of the committee, I think that would give them a little better win. Like, just remember, like, the teams that don't play in the Big Ten championship game, they're going to meet with their crossover opponent from mm-hmm. the other division. And so that would be like Ohio State, Wisconsin, then you go on down the standing. So I don't know. I know Northwestern beat Wisconsin, but I think there is a mindset in the committee that maybe a win over Wisconsin might carry a little bit more weight. But we talked about this last week on the show. Like, at some point, doesn't the season have to matter? Like, yes. if we're solely everyone knows Ohio State is one of the best four teams in the country, but at some point, like playing six games, like that's.
But see, that's why I don't. But here's the deal. I will say, because no one else is saying it, they have not been the best team in the country when they've played. I don't think it's close. They have not been as impressive as Alabama. They have not been as impressive as Notre Dame. And they have not been as impressive as Clemson. Okay?
Agreed.
So now you're telling me they're four. Okay? Mm-hmm. So now you're going to say they're four. Right? Now we have teams that are going to play double-digit games. At some point, the combination of most deserving and eye tests has to matter. You cannot tell me there's going to be a team that's going to be a conference champion out there, a la Cincinnati, that's undefeated and does everything they have, because Ohio State is Ohio State. What if Indiana beat Ohio State and they were sitting there at what are they, 4-0, and now they were facing these COVID issues? There's no way they would be getting the benefit of the doubt than Ohio State. And they would have a win over Ohio State with them. I just feel like because it's them, they're staying at four. They're trying to overcome all COVID. Everybody's trying to do the same thing as far as COVID goes. So, like, that's the one thing that just bothers me, is they haven't won every game 60-0. If they came out and won every game 60-0, I got no problem with them there. But they haven't been that impressive to me. I was expecting a lot more. And like I said, people are going through a lot. They're going through a lot, but I don't think there's a resounding deal that they are the fourth best team in the country. That's me.
Yeah, I think in terms of talent, there, but you could certainly make the case. I mean, in terms of performance, yeah, the Indiana score. I mean, they got up big and fell asleep at the wheel, and Indiana hung around and made some plays. But it's going to be interesting to see, because, like, Cincinnati, you look at it and it's like. Like, in terms, that would clearly show a deserving over best if they were to put an undefeated. By the way, it's not a lock that Cincinnati's going to get through.
Exactly. I get it. Totally get it. I'm just saying, if forecasting all the way forward, that's what I was doing there.
You know what the interesting thing is as well? I mentioned about how two loss teams have been like the committees. Like, we Stanford easily could have made it a couple of years back. Yeah. Penn State should have been in with two losses. Georgia with two losses should have been in. So, like, the committee has really turned their back on those two loss teams, despite having strong schedules and very strong wins. Like, are we at a point where there's a chance a two loss Oklahoma or a two loss Iowa State could get in and hear me out?
Like, I'm listening.
Say Notre Dame beats Clemson again. That's going to knock most likely Clemson out. Clemson will be a non-champion. Say Ohio State doesn't meet that, what we were just discussing. They don't play in the Big Ten championship game. And the committee does view that as a negative. Oh, they only played six games, didn't play in the conference title. You know, it's got to matter. Say Cincinnati loses a game to Tulsa, or maybe they don't even have to. Then you're looking at Texas A&M, who is a non-champion. You're looking at a two-loss Georgia team, who's a non-champion, in a sense of being right ahead of Iowa State, who potentially could have two wins over Oklahoma, and or an Oklahoma team that's red hot and avenged a loss to Iowa State earlier in the year. Like, is there a
like is BYU those, still undefeated?
Well, yes, they are.
Okay, all right. That's my next one. To answer your question, I think here's what I think, and I'm trying to like act like more people think like me, but I know people don't. I'm sick and tired of Oklahoma, and I'm sick and tired of Georgia. Give me anybody, whoever, give me anybody else. But I brought up BYU just because I think they kind of got overlooked last night. You know, they didn't play, and, you know, Reese was talking about, you know, they didn't get reevaluated. But when we look at, you know, the in 2017, UCF was the hot name, and they had the, you know, the momentum and everything, and everything was churning in their favor. They end up not getting in, and we all know what happened from there. When you look at UCF, that team in 2017, statistically against this BYU team, what do you see?
I see numbers from BYU that are better in terms of on-field performance.
Really?
In terms of 2010, 2017, UCF finished 12th in the college football playoff rankings with a strength of schedule of 86 and an offensive efficiency rank, which was 10th, and a defensive efficiency rank, which was 38th. Right now, BYU is 13th with a strength of schedule of 87. So basically the same. It's exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And their offense is ranked 4th, and their defense is ranked 25th. So they are much higher defensively and higher offensively. So this is a better team than that UCF team in terms of you're solely looking at on-field performance. Mm-hmm. And I think the committee isn't really giving them their due. I think there's a disconnect with looking at efficiency ratings, looking at strength of record, looking at everything that they should be looking at, and then really, okay, all that matters with BYU is the schedule. And I think that's kind of how the committee is viewing BYU. Whereas I think something that the committee – that's my dryer going off in case anybody cares in the background. Huh. The Bears home. He's got a pack for the
– Yeah, we got to get ready. This is laundry day.
It is laundry day. We had to wait for Daily Wager to finish up because the office is kind of ripe. So apologize for my my dryer. They were all good. A little bit of 2020. But like last week, Chris Andrews shared what he would make BYU against every team that was ranked ahead of them. Now, some of these numbers may have changed from last week based on some of these results. Like last week, entering the weekend, Chris would have had Notre Dame as a 2-point favorite over BYU. The Notre Dame team, which is probably in the playoff right now, which would have been – he would have had Notre Dame. Your Irish. He would have made Notre Dame 2. He would have had BYU a 9-point favorite over Miami. He would have had BYU favorite over Indiana, Iowa State, Northwestern, and Texas A&M. He'd have BYU a 1-point favorite to Texas A&M last week. I have not gotten any updated. I didn't ask him for any updated numbers yet. I didn't get an opportunity, but I will. And he would have had the game with Cincinnati, a pick 'em. So, and the only team that would be a double-digit favorite over BYU would be Alabama, which was 17. Like he'd have Clemson -9 and Ohio State -9. So, like I think the committee is paying strict attention to the schedule. And not necessarily when they oh, we're impressed with BYU, but the schedule. I mean, Cincinnati's schedule 70th. Ohio State's schedule 77th. So it's not like those teams have played great schedules either, but you're going to penalize BYU for an 87 schedule when their on-field performance is pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But like the team that I'm curious, that is exactly the opposite, I think, of BYU in terms of the rankings is Texas A&M.
New York.
Like well, here's why. The win over Florida was a great win. And
it's got to account for more than some statistics, though, Bear. They did it.
But at the same time, are we giving – that we is the committee giving them too much credit for just playing what is currently the – 8th rated schedule in the country, and they have the win over Florida. Like if you look at them, like from the sole metric standpoint, they're like a fringe top 25 team. Like they're 24th in offensive efficiency, 24th in defensive efficiency, and 13th in overall efficiency. Like when you combine everything, offense, defense, special teams. So like they're a good team. They're a solid win. You got to give them something for that win over Florida. But at the same time, I think the committee is giving them a little bit more of a boost in the rankings because of one win and strength of schedule. Now, hey, if you're going to come out and say strength of schedule matters, and ultimately you're going to put a two-loss team maybe in there at some point because they had two losses against a really tough schedule and they had a couple wins mixed in there, and you're going to say, okay, no, we want you to go out and play somebody, and we don't care if you have two losses, if your schedule's 5th or 6th or 7th in the country, then that's great. But at the same time, I think – I just think that the performance on the field isn't matching what the rankings say.
It's a rough year for A&M to have probably one of the worst years ever for the division. Yeah. That division is not nearly what it has been in years past, man. Who do you think hates people discussing gambling with their sport more, Bill Hancock or Roger Goodell?
I think it's Bill Hancock.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, you look at the NFL and all of the
he's the getting deals there.
That, I mean, they're getting there. I mean, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's.
I would love to hear Bill Hancock make a line on Notre Dame BYU. Can you imagine what he would make that line? Seriously, 21.
Oh, I was gonna say Notre Dame 17.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. The funny thing is you're right. Maybe not necessarily Bill, but I think the conference commissioners. Certainly.
That's a good point. Really good point. Very good point. All right, you're going to. What are they calling now? They're not saying Myrtle. They're saying it's not in Myrtle Beach.
No, it's in Conway.
Come on.
Suburban Myrtle Beach.
Oh, man. All right. Anyway, you're going there.
I am.
First, we have to discuss InfoCision Stadium, 2 p.m. Eastern.
The biggest game of the week.
Yes. I've been waiting 3 months for this game. Before the action started, this was the game I wanted to see. It's Akron hosting Bowling Green. Akron is now 2.5. I saw Circa, I think, opened up at 4, went down to 2. It's all over the place. Over under 57.5, I believe I see. Let's see. Hold on. 57. Bowling Green plus 2.5. I'm dead serious, Bear. I cannot wait for this game. I don't care what I'm doing at 2:00. I will have the app up. I got the app set up on the TV, so we got it on the big screen. We are good to go from InfoCision Stadium. Listen, I am so into this game because I want obviously somebody's going to lose, but I can't wait to see how pumped this team is, whoever this team wins. And for what Dollard has done for Akron, they've actually been more impressive, if you can be, for a winless team. Teon Dollard's been awesome. But last week against Miami of Ohio, when they lost 38-7, he only had 22 yards on the ground and 13 carries. He's been awesome for Akron in what's been an abysmal season. But when you look at both quarterbacks, like just for example, Bowling Green loses 52-10 last week. Matt McDonald, Bowling Green quarterback, 125 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 picks. Zach Gibson, Akron quarterback last week, 141 yards, 1 touchdown, an interception. It hasn't been pretty for these teams. I will say I do think the best unit in this game, when you look at offense, defense, I'm saying Akron's run game gets things going. But my uncle told me a long time ago, Bear, you do not give points with teams. And that would be your case here if you were giving and wanting to take Akron. Therefore, if I want to pick on this game, I'm rooting for both teams because I want to see the winner. Give me the over 57. I think both offenses score, and I know it hasn't been pretty for either.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you handicap a game like this, like when you have Akron?
Flip a coin?
Is the 123rd ranked scoring offense in the country, and Bowling Green is the 126th ranked scoring defense in the country. And then the flip side, Akron is the 125th ranked scoring defense in the country, and Bowling Green is 126th ranked scoring offense. So like it's like the
immovable object. Your poison?
Yeah. So it's like I'm with you. I just want to sit and watch this game.
Yes.
I could not bet a dollar on it, even though I probably should, just to say.
And you will.
It's kind of like one of those things where I remember when I was in St. Thomas, St. John, like my wife and I got married down in St. Thomas in February, a few years in 2007, and we took the ferry over to St. John. And there was this little place that was basically almost like this like OTB basically. It had like parimutuel handicapping in this bar, in this little like hut in St. John. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get like a souvenir ticket that says it's like $2 to win on whatever at like Tampa Bay Downs with like the stamp of whatever this place was in St. John, just to say I have like the souvenir. Like this is like one of those games like you need the $2 to show ticket, the $2 win ticket on like American Pharoah. Like you need like a $5 Akron minus 2.5 versus ball just to frame that ticket and put it up on your desk.
I'm with you. I can't imagine what these two teams have gone through. And then like on the other side, you see how great of a thing Kent State has been turning their deal around, and now they have COVID issues. So I'm just really. Really fired up.
Kent State, they probably should have come up with those COVID issues last week. How's our guy doing?
Mr. Windhorse isn't happy. He said, I think his quote was, once I saw the new uniforms, I knew we were due for a loss. So there you go.
Do you know what Bowling Green's completion percentage is on offense this year?
Oh man, I just had it up and I was looking at Akron's because I thought Akron's might be worse. I do not. I know both teams combined
40.8. Bowling Green is completing 40% of its passes this year. But however, Akron is allowing 72% completions.
There you go. And I still, I mean, and I watched the Kent State Akron game in that first half. I can't get out of my head. Like, here's the one. Akron scored 35 against Kent State, and Bowling Green scored 24, and then Buffalo scored, 70 last week? So Kent State's defense might need some improvements. But this is about the Zips, and this is about Bowling Green. The Falcons, obviously, are on the road. Good luck to both teams. May the best team win.
I can't believe that you couldn't convince the Q to send you and Ryan McGee to Greater Akron.
Go to Greater Akron without you, buddy.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate that camaraderie and friendship and just kind of the team attitude that because we are a team.
Absolutely. Speaking of teams, we got announcement here, Maryland, Michigan now. I would guess, is this, Travis, canceled, postponed? They don't have any more weeks, right? It's got to be canceled.
It's canceled, postponed. It's semantics.
All right. So that now Michigan, leaves the question.
Michigan cannot return to practice until December 7th.
Monday they allegedly can return to practice.
Yes.
That's the 8th?
That's Monday, next Monday.
Monday the 7th.
Yeah, Monday's the 7th.
And that's now the second Big Ten game canceled this week.
Okay. How do you feel about this Bucknut?
I mean, I want to play them. Like, I want to beat them.
Of course you do. You want to win 87-0.
Like, of course I want it because of the Big Ten and all that, but I just want to beat them, period. Like, if they don't change the rules, then let us play them the next week if they can play. Even if like a game against Wisconsin would mean more, right. I'd rather play them.
See, that's great to hear. That's great to hear because there's so much focus on like so many people playoff. But to hear someone who is a lifelong Ohio State fan and grew up with this rivalry being this and the Rose Bowl matter, to hear him say like I don't care about the Big Ten championship game or I don't care about playing Wisconsin, I want to play Michigan. That's great to hear. So good for you, man.
It's not a great slate, Bear. I do have one more question for you regarding the playoff.
Yes, talk to me.
Better chance of happening. Ohio State makes the playoff or Clemson and Notre Dame play 3 times this year?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I've been thinking about it all week.
I think there's a greater chance that Ohio State makes the playoff.
Woo! Because Alabama or because Clemson or Notre Dame might play Alabama in the first round.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's Because they can't line them up to play for a third time in this.
No.
That's going to be another flaw that is pointed out. Unless they just say, "Hey, we didn't want these teams to play for a third time in a semi." Just say it.
Yep. What would happen? Like, if Clemson wins, Clemson will be 2, and then they'll move Notre Dame to 4 because that's what they'll do. That's an interesting question. Like, are you
going to text that one to Reese? I'll give him a Reese.
I was going to say, like, could you imagine, like, say you put Cincinnati 3 over Notre Dame just because you've done, like, that's like ridiculous. That's like pure, like that's like pure tampering.
Well, they jump
one loss Clemson to 1.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
they just showed the fortitude with Trevor back.
Yeah, they showed with their undefeated with Trevor Lawrence, and they avenged their loss against number 2, and that's better than any win Alabama has. Yeah,
with that,
they could just use a tiebreaker. If Ohio State is the Big Ten champ, they say tiebreaker, then they put Ohio State versus Notre Dame in the semifinal, and just watch the ratings go through the roof.
I don't want to see that game.
By the way, I love watching your team.
Who, my Irish?
Dude, 24.
I told Herb Street, back off. That's my guy.
Like,
he's an absolute war dog.
It's so refreshing to watch that style of play and watch it work. Just that we're just going to bludgeon you at the line of scrimmage, and we have these tight ends that can block and run and catch. And then the front 7 is so much. How are they getting these kids out of Georgia, by the way?
I don't know. We got to talk to our Georgia insider about that.
The DB and the tight end, like, they need to reassess their recruiting strategies there in Athens.
I'm going to say this, and I know people are going to disagree again. I am more excited for the Clemson-Notre Dame rematch than I will be for any game that remains possibly be played this year. I cannot wait for that game.
I can't either.
I cannot.
I'll be happy to be there. And I saw.
When's the last time that the SEC title game is not going to be the most anticipated conference championship?
I think you had a couple of Alabama, Florida years where Florida was like a 20 something point favorite that it didn't matter, and then the Auburn South Carolina year, like, I don't. One of the
Big 12 didn't have one that.
You had an Alabama Missouri game in there that right mixed in there that was non-competitive.
Yeah. I was trying to think, what was the SEC title game when Penn State beat Wisconsin?
2016.
So that was.
Was that the year Alabama?
Bama got in as the 4 and won it, right? They didn't play in the title game.
No, 2016. Right? No, 2016 was Alabama Clemson rematch when Clemson won. So it was probably Alabama, Florida, I think, in 16.
Wow. Oh, McElwain. Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. All right. We mentioned the slate. I mean, cross another one off in Ann Arbor. Anything that sticks out to you? Like, I have some combination of Clemson and the over in their game. I have Alabama written down. But I don't have that over because I don't trust LSU at all. And my weekly circle of whoever is playing KU, which is Texas. Although I will say, I think I might have to add the over here in the Texas Tech Kansas game because Miles Kendrick came in for Kansas last week, Bear, and was making plays. And I'm not going to lie, had me a little worried about TCU cover. For our weekly go against Kansas play. So we can't give up now, but Miles Kendrick, shout out to him. He came in and made some throws for Kansas, and it was good to see them have a little bit of life But Texas Tech, they're going to Kansas is going to Lubbock now. So we will be partaking in that. Stanford's got their own issues traveling to Seattle. They're practicing at UW last night, and now they're practicing at high schools all week. And then they're just going to go right to Corvallis and play next week. That line is pretty eye-opening because I'm still not sold on Washington, but I'm not sold on Stanford, even though last week was awesome. What about you? Penn State? That's a lot, no? Chopping wood?
Seems like a lot. Seems like a lot for a Rutgers team that you know is going to get full up, but good for Penn State. That was our question last week about Penn State.
Yep.
Whether they were still going to be invested in the season. We said they're better.
Really good for them.
And yeah, I was happy to see. I was happy to see them win. Yeah, I got three right now.
How about the Teal?
Well, you can't play the game now. That the story about Willis and him likely missing the game because he tested positive for COVID. Oh, the numbers up to like whatever it is. So it's a bummer for the bigness of the game. So I'll be honest with you. I'm disappointed for our show too. Like, yeah, you're going there to kind of reward and salute Coastal for what they've done, but Liberty's had a good year too. And now you're probably going to see a 9-2 Liberty team that will likely be without a ball berth.
Yeah.
But the three games that, and there are a couple more that I had on the list potentially being there. I like Auburn getting the 7 against Texas A&M at home. I certainly talked about Auburn and how unimpressed I have been with them.
That's the smelliest line of the week.
All season, but A&M laying 7 with an offense that has been sporadic a lot of times this year. I think you get Kevin Steele, his defense. I think if you can kind of focus on Spiller, mm-hmm. shut that power running game down. I think there's a chance that they can confuse Mond and do some things to keep that game close. And we've also hit on how there's home Bo Nix and there's road Bo Nix, and yeah. Bo Nix is back at home at Jordan Hare. And so I'll take Auburn plus the 7.
Okay.
You talked about Cal Oregon. We talked about Cal Stanford rather last week. Oregon, I had my concerns about the Ducks prior to the year, and I think we've seen those concerns warranted in recent weeks. They really should have lost to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
And then you lose the game with some of the most ridiculous officiating at that goal line last week. That
God.
It was just awful. And you look at Cal, you lose the axe on a block extra point. You have like no defensive lineman for that game against UCLA. That's a predictable loss. And then you lose another close game. So getting 10 points now against Oregon. Wilcox has been typically very good as an underdog. And I think this could be one of those spots where you see Cal come out and, you're only going to play one more game after this. So it's like, you know what? Let's go out. Let's play our game. And see if we can pull an upset here. So I think you're going to get a good effort from Cal off of a brutal loss last week. I think they'll come out with a breathing fire. And then UCLA getting 3.5 at Arizona State if they play this game. Arizona State's been off for a while.
One game they have played.
They played one game, the game against USC, which they should have won.
Mm.
But at the same time, you look at UCLA, and I know people were ready to send Chip packing after that first week when they lost to Colorado. I mean, the offense turned the ball over 4 times in that game, and then the offense turned the ball over 4 times in the game against Oregon, and you had the pick 6 before halftime. Like, they very easily could be 4-0. The two losses were their own doing. They're self-inflicted losses. So, but I think Chip and UCLA have kind of discovered some things the last couple of weeks. I think they've run the ball 50 times
the last awesome. Couple of weeks.
They've kind of gotten Belton's
really good.
Back to just in talking with him, he said they're so much more improved this year up on the line of scrimmage,
mm-hmm.
and they're playing that way.
Yeah,
they're beating people up front. Felton's running the ball. Griffin was much steadier last week. Like, I think they found some things, and now against an Arizona State team which hasn't played, who knows how much they practice? Who knows? Who knows who can even like? I don't know. I like that spot for UCLA getting the 3.5.
You mentioned it. I don't care. I mean, people could say that about any coach in the country, and I still feel like they get blamed for this, and they shouldn't. But turnovers, like, players are the reason turnovers happen.
Correct.
It's not coaching. And when you go back and look at UCLA's turnovers, you talked about week one, 4 turnovers. All 4 were in the first half, weren't they?
Yep.
Like, they had no chance. It's done. I don't care who you're playing. Would you rather give 24 with Ohio State or 34 with Notre Dame?
24 with Ohio State.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd rather give 20, but again, you don't know who is going, like, we don't know who tested positive that is definitely going to be out for the game. But at the same time, is Syracuse going to score?
I was going to ask you, how many points is Michigan State going to score? Are they going to score 17?
Michigan State might get 17. I think Lombardi and those young receivers, I think, in the second half are good to put a touchdown or so on the board.
Okay.
In garbage time.
All right. What else?
I don't know why Texas is given 8.5. I know Kansas State's been ravaged by COVID, which feels like all season. I mean, they went from what, first place to now they're fighting for a winning season, right? Yeah. Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since they lost to Thompson and some other guys, it's just been downhill for them.
Not good.
But they've done very well in this rivalry, and I'm curious to see what we get from Texas this week. After losing the game to Iowa State, your hope of getting to the Big 12 title game is gone. Of all the people in college football that you wouldn't expect to take a sack there, like, Sam Ellinger would probably have been like the number one person. Okay, he'll run around and then he'll sense the pressure and he'll throw it away. But that was just a microcosm of everything that's kind of gone wrong in Austin. But you would expect him to play out the string here pretty well and give his all just because his love for the school. So I'd be careful about taking Kansas State here.
Okay. All right. If Indiana is getting 14 without Penix, what's the line with Penix?
7.
7.5.
Like, the Tuttle kid's good. Like, he was a highly touted kid. Transferred.
I still have no idea about Wisconsin. That's my problem. It's not about Indiana. No.
Right. We know they beat a terrible Michigan team. We know they beat a terrible Illinois team. And
lost to Northwestern.
And they lost to Northwestern in a game where their offense did nothing. Right? Like, Indiana's defense is good. And I think they love the fact that they are a big underdog once again, and nobody's kind of believing in them. And I think everyone's just expecting to see the Graham Mertz that we saw against Illinois and the Wisconsin offense that we saw against Michigan. I think people are expecting just that's going to magically pop up and appear here. But I'm not so sure. I don't know if I'd be jumping at the opportunity to lay 14.5 there with Wisconsin.
And the scariest line to me is Oregon State +11 in Salt Lake, because I'll tell you right now, if Jebby is playing, that's Oregon State all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because Utah, I mean, I get it. They're slow to start. You know, we talked about the issues surrounding teams all over the place, but Utah's just been really slow to go. Brutal loss. Get run out of the building after being up 21-0 last week. They're just not that talented on offense, whereas Oregon State has got some guys, man. I really like what I've seen from their guys in their secondary too. That was a really good job. I mean, you talked about Oregon being maybe a little bit underachieving, but they have some serious talent at the skill positions. Oregon State was step for step with those guys last week. It was really, really impressive. I was really happy for them to get that win, because that's one you can hang your hat on. And as a new staff that's trying to take over, that's a huge thing in the state. And I'm dying to find an excuse to run it, because this is a 20-year anniversary coming up of one of the most incredible bowl performances ever, and that's the 2001 Fiesta Bowl when Dennis Erickson came out with a bunch of madmen and gave it to Coach Davey.
Beautiful. The Hushmans out of Chad Johnson.
I went back and looked at the box score. I can't wait to see that SportsCenter read. I cannot wait. Because
that was beautiful.
That's the year after I graduated, and I said all year, like going in, I just said Oregon State's the most talented team, guys. I said it's not even close. I know Washington still has Tui Asisopo, and you know, but and then I'll never forget sitting around with all the buddies all day, and they're like, oh yeah, all Notre Dame fans, obviously. I'm like, just be careful tonight. Just be careful because you have no idea what's going to come out of that tunnel with Coach Erickson.
a team that had like you talk about ZFG, like and that was an Oregon State team that I remember the controversy was like, should it be Miami, Florida State, Washington, and playing Oklahoma? Like Oregon State lost to UW on a last second field goal that just missed. Like, that team was legit, and again, they weren't getting the recognition that they should have that year because of their name, because they were Oregon State.
And that's back when UW was a tougher place to play than Autzen, and that's when people don't realize that place was incredible.
The place would shake.
Oh man, give me nightmares thinking about that.
And that was Ken Dorsey's first road start, the 34-29 loss in September.
Sorry to bring that up, buddy.
No, it's okay. No, I'm enjoying this revisitation down 2000 flashback lane.
All right. I honestly, with all this going on, I was going to take a shot in the Terps, I thought, too, and now that's out the window. Oh, I know. I got a dog for you. I like Boston College.
UVA.
They're getting 6.5 at UVA. Last time we saw UVA, they were throwing a double pass in their own end zone with 36-99 back to 36. I'm sorry, I can't get that out of my head. But listen,
I think they should run that. I think they should run that play to start the game.
All right, I'm in. I think Halfley's done a really, really. I don't want to say good because it's been an overhaul of what they've done as a program, but it's as impressive a job as I've seen for a guy in a first year gig. Not a great place to take over. Obviously the recruiting things are you know, tough place to recruit. College sports don't mean nothing in that town. We know that, but I think he got the big transfer, you know, with Djurkovic, and I just like what I've seen. Virginia, they've had their issues, you know, injury-wise and all that stuff. I just feel like BC shouldn't be getting this many points. Now, I could be totally wrong, and somebody's smarter than me, and that's why they're getting this many points. But we're going to definitely have BC this week.
And I think BC's
– I think we have a live chat question.
We do, and it's a good question. I was going to say, I think as Travis just pointed out in our little chat here, like how long is Halfley going to stay at BC? Is he going to be fully invested in building that program up? Because, I mean, is that going to be a
place? What are you worried? Michigan's going to call him, Travis?
I mean, he could go there. I mean, Texas. I mean, there's a plenty of jobs. I think he's a great coach. Would you
know who he was if he didn't coach at Ohio State?
No, but he proved what in 1 year he fixed that atrocious defense. Now he's doing this at BC. I think he's shown that. And he can recruit already. I think he's shown that he can be a head coach at a power school.
And BC is a place where you are in the same division as Clemson. Like, that's your – I mean
– Yeah, you're not on the other side. It's Clemson and the other side. You're on the Clemson side.
If you're Mac Brown or Manny Diaz, you're happy because you're over there. And you know Norvell will get Florida State going here at some point as well. So, like, what's your ceiling at BC?
Still mad at them for the Big East. They ruined the Big East.
The Big East football conference was really, really good there for a while.
Yeah.
Miami was good. West Virginia was good. Virginia Tech was good. Rutgers, Ray Lucas, Rutgers was good. Who am I forgetting? Did I say West Virginia? Syracuse was good. I mean, they had teams Yeah. I don't know if I said Virginia Tech or not.
But yeah, like, you did. That's all I think of. Because everybody's always they always think about Miami. I'm like, look, go back. I mean, Virginia Tech.
Miami was good. Miami was the impetus to get the league formed and started.
So correct.
They were there, and then when the league was ending right around 2000, 2001, that's when they were moving out to the
SEC. And then you would have added on the likes of UConn, you know, to mm-hmm. really bolster things.
Yep, that would have been good.
I will say that. At least UMass played this year.
Is that what you call it?
Yes.
No, you're right though. Yeah, you know what they played. I mean, good for the school.
Exactly.
For a
shout out to UMass.
Yeah, good for them to play. Because I mean, it would suck just you're there on campus all year. Maybe you're working out. Maybe you're practicing. Who the hell knows
what you're doing? Oh, maybe as you are. Texas State just played 12 games.
Shout out to them, by the way.
Absolutely.
To play
coach of the year. Coach Spaff.
To play 12 games, no cancellations, no postponements. Good for them.
He went up to Boston College. He should have beat him. But that's what I'm saying. They played 12 games. UConn, nah, we're good. We're packing it in. Anyway, anything else, sir?
A couple of other dogs I thought about were TCU getting 2.5 against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's fishy.
And then Arkansas getting a field goal against Missouri.
Really interested to see that game. Both coaches obviously coached it out of their minds this year, Coach Drink and Coach Pitt. I also wanted to say shout out to NC State. They've had a really good year, probably the most unnoticeable.
Does anybody realize you're
7-3? Do you know he's the second – or is he the winningest – coach all time at NC State now?
Does he have more wins,
and I was like, I don't know who that is.
Does he have more wins than O'Brien?
Yes. Yes, he's definitely second.
Does he have more wins than Chuck?
Yes. It was a name that I never heard before.
It was probably what? Was it Sheridan?
No.
Earl Edwards.
That's it.
From 1954 to 1970.
There you go.
I was going to say when the head dog was there.
Had to, right? 61?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to get
77 wins.
Yep. Yeah. Because I think Doran's at like 56. But shout out to them, man. That's in a year like this. Really would like to see our Charlotte team play a game this week.
Speaking of the head dog.
Oh, yeah. Steamer time.
And then in a big-time steamer condo pick that you can bet your condo on.
Clemson, minus 22. I love how he writes, and he didn't do it this week, but he's like, I'm not giving any more. I want it at 22.
Exactly. What about, dude, our guy had two steamers canceled last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good. Yeah, you wake up, pick up the phone, and you just say 7:16 a.m., and then you just Clem minus 22. That's it. And we didn't get the also considered blah 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 yeah. blah, 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 blah 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 blah.
No, then Friday we get the who did you give?
Yep.
Yeah. So my man always keeping tabs on us. I love it. All right, let's just go quickly with the Big Mike Happy Recap, brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Steve at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I'm going to have BC. I'm going to have some kind of combination of Clemson and the over. I don't know if it's both. I don't know if it's a tease. I'm not sure. I'm most likely going to have Bama, and the Texas Tech is kind of like the Clemson thing. I'm either going to have 27.5, 63.5 over, or tease or something. But the column, it'll be official. But those are – what I have for this week. Oh, and for Ha-Ha's, got to take the over at Infocision Stadium in Akron. I can't wait. Shout out to the Falcons and the Zips. Get it done. Good luck. Your pick, Surrey.
I'm going to the three that I mentioned, I'm going to take Auburn plus the 7 against the Aggies. I'm going to take Cal plus 10 against Duke. I was thinking the Dirty Golden Bears. I was going to say that in honor of you. Honor of you, so my head got
all ugly ducks.
They're the Oregon Ducks, and then the UCLA plus the 3.5 at Arizona State.
Like the Auburn pick, that thing smells to me. Really does. All right. I think that will do it. Travis, good luck to you. Hope you get to watch your team play this week.
It'd be nice.
All right. Very good. Bear, take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.